Revealing messages for us, for the rest of the group. Who's the Holy Spirit to you? Mike, you got a Holy Spirit? Here, Mike has a...
I think that the Holy Spirit to me is the inspiration or the direction that you receive, you know, whether it's unexpectedly or expectedly to do the right things and to do things that deepen your faith. Just like, you know, we were talking last week, what brought us to come to this class, even though we don't belong to this parish, for example, you know, and part of that was the Holy Spirit pointing the way to us, like an inspiration.
Sometimes we don't know,
right.
Exactly. but there's a force there that leads us.
You may be praying for direction or intervention or whatever, but then sometimes it just happens.
Okay. Anything else from that table?
No, we couldn't talk that.
Okay, good. Very good. Mike, good answer. How about this table over here? Beverly, you had a great comment.
The Genesis comment?
Yeah.
Oh, I just said that up until, I'm not sure if it was last session or the one before, we talked about the Genesis story where God breathed life and, you know, human beings came alive. And I just never associated that breath to mean the Holy Spirit until then. I think that's really strong. It's like God gave us the Holy Spirit, and I think He even gave it to us back then. Maybe we didn't quite know what to do with it, but that's why we're alive today.
And you know, follow on to that a little bit. All the great scripture writers, God breathed into them and revealed them the word to write. And so, yeah, we have it today. It's been written down for us too. Irene had a good one too. I'm going to call on her.
Sure.
Oh, Irene, all the power, the engine, she was going on and on about it.
I'm trying to think about, you know, Bob said it's a person, and I said, well, I don't really feel like it's a person. I feel like, you know, if you had a car, maybe God is the car itself, God the Father, and Jesus is the wheels, but the Holy Spirit is the engine that makes it move. And that's just kind of how I look at it.
Powerful engine. Okay. How are you guys over here?
You didn't talk about anything.
Okay.
We did, but I want to make a comment about the creation story. That in Hebrew, the word for spirit is ruha, R-U-A-H. And if you say that and hold your hand up in front of your mouth, you can feel ruha. You feel the wind. And Hebrew words have very deep meaning. They're interactive words. The word is actually ruha, breathing in. You feel that breathing in the air. What did we talk about?
We seem to talk a lot about how Holy Spirit does is this lifeline, this source of activity, even if we're not really aware. But Allison said, if I can share this, when somebody asked her if she knew Jesus, is that right? And she wasn't. You know the Holy Spirit, but she felt the Holy Spirit. She told us so. There's this source of, you know, of our activity as the Christians, really.
Okay. And that's similar to what Irene was saying. The engine, the power behind something. The same thing, Mike. You know, force the drive drove him here. Anything else? Any other sharings? All right.
Frank always has this thing, and I never can quite get it right. He says, people always have a hard time explaining the Holy Spirit, the personal Holy Spirit, you know, power of the Holy Spirit. And he says that God is God. We really are just as obscure with who God is. We might relate to him as Father, but is that our Father? You know? And Jesus doesn't live now. We didn't really ever walk with Jesus. But the Holy Spirit isn't so esoteric. The Holy Spirit is the only reason we do ever have experience or knowledge of God or Jesus. It's like that, the whole knowledge, ability to comprehend and believe is the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is the most tangible person in our lives. Yeah. You know, why did we come here? I doubt that you heard the voice of God the Father, and I doubt that you saw Jesus, the man, walking with us, but the Holy Spirit called you. And I think in all of our lives, that's the most tangible person of God. And yet, you know, now we've got fire, we've got wind, we've got tons of fire, and now we have the engine. Okay, we'll add all that to it, the ghost, whatever. We create such a mystery with the Holy Spirit, and yet He is the most tangible one of the Trinity in our lives.
Good discussion. All right, let's see. It leads right into images of the Holy Spirit. Ruha. Spirit, I guess one of the roots of spirit is spire, S-P-I-R. I was at Health South last week visiting some patients, and the respiratory therapist happened to be there, who was a friend, Dennis, a friend of ours out of St. Luke's, and he knows all about that respiration, respire, inspire. So just some of the images. Again, the Catechism has a whole bunch of words about this. You can read that on your own. Maybe go to Psalm 33, number 6. I think I'm right there. Verse 6. By the Lord's word, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. The waters of the sea were gathered as in a bowl, and the cellars, the deep was confined. So we have that breath, the breath of, you said the breath of life we were talking about at our table there, the breath of life. How about Acts? We read Acts 2:1-4 already. So here's again, that I think Marge, you read that, the wind at Pentecost comes down on us. We have another image that's in the Catechism, is water, and usually a symbol of new birth, outpouring. We have a scripture reading there about outpouring. How about John 7:38? Anybody?
Whoever believes in me, as scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him.
Yeah, is that 38 and 9?
Yeah. That's 38. You want me to read it?
Yeah, do 39 too.
He said this in reference to the Spirit that those who came to believe in him were to receive. There was, of course, no Spirit yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Yeah, so John's writing about Jesus, talking about the living water, and that outpouring that's going to come. How about Acts 10? 38 to 39. I have it here, so I'll read it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging on a tree. 39, okay. God anointing. Okay, so anointing. Again, oil is in chrism oil. We know we have chrism oil in the church. Another symbol, another image of the Holy Spirit is that oil. Fire, we talked about fire. I have Exodus in yellow there. That's the story of the burning bush. This transforming energy. Irene was talking about power. Here we go. Fire, the engine has fire and energy. How about Luke 24?
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures.
27 and 31 and 32. skip there.
With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?
Okay, so here we are again with that heat, that burning heat and fire. At the Transfiguration, we have that Holy Spirit in the cloud and the light illuminating Jesus, just the overpowering brightness. The seal is mentioned numerous times. I didn't put scripture quotes here, but the indelible character imprint is a seal that you get. And a hand is also another image of the Holy Spirit, imposition of the hands or laying on of hands. We received a an invitation from the bishop yesterday. Came in. Do you get one too? Andy Schweitzer, young man from Westover, who we've known for many years, he's going to be ordained in the diaconate next month. And it was interesting. I wanted to bring the invitation because it said he's going to be sealed and he's going to have the imposition of hands on Andy that day. So we praise the Lord for that. Finger. That's one that I hadn't saw before, but Jesus cast out demons with that finger. The apostles did that later. And it's the Holy Spirit that moves that demon out. And then the written word on the stone, when God wrote the Ten Commandments, it was on stone, but the Holy Spirit writes in our heart that word. The dove, I think we all see doves many times. We saw those in those other photographs, those paintings. Again, it's God's promise being fulfilled, and certainly with Noah. And then the paraclete, advocate, and helper. I know I associate dove with paraclete all the time. I'm not sure what the root words are, whether it's just my imagination, but Romans 8. 26 and 27. Somebody have that? Okay, Mike?
In the same way, the Spirit too comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. And the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because it intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will.
So Jesus promised disciples he was going to send an advocate, somebody to help them. He knew he wasn't going to be there. He's going to leave earth real soon, but he needed to send a helper for all of us, for all times. And he intercedes for us. So, again, the paraclete or the advocate.
Yeah, paraclete just means helper.
Oh, helper in Greek? Okay, thank you. I got some more coming up here. I knew I was going to talk to Mike today, so good. Thank you, Mike. Sacraments. We talked about Jesus' baptism and certainly the confirmation. I wanted to read.
I think it should be 1304.
1304. Well, I did have 1303.
Okay.
Confirmation brings an increase and deepening of baptismal grace. It roots us more deeply in the divine filiation, which makes us cry, Abba, Father. It unites us more firmly to Christ. It increases the gifts of the Holy Spirit in us. It renders our bond with the church more perfect. It gives us a special strength of the Holy Spirit to spread and defend the faith by word and action as true witnesses of Christ, to confess the name of Christ boldly and never to be ashamed of the cross. I'll read 13 and 4 too.
Who's the one that I was talking about on Wednesday? Go ahead.
Okay. Like baptism, which it completes, confirmation is given only once, for it too imprints on the soul an indelible spiritual mark, the character, which is the sign that Jesus Christ had marked as a Christian with the seal of his Spirit by clothing him with power from on high so that he may be his witness. So here we go, we got the character.
In the middle there, you have the word seal, an indelible character.
Yeah, so that would be.
that was something that, just as we were going through this, I remember when I came home from my first tech retreat and had this incredible experience. Or actually, it was my second tech retreat when I had this very, very powerful vision. And Allison said to me, "Oh, you've been sealed." Very nonchalantly. I'm like, okay. But then I remember, I mean, that was, it was a very, very powerful thing, and it changed my life. I mean, I can't go back. I can't explain to people, but I can't go back. There's something that was just completely different from that point forward. And to Allison, and it's still, you know, to me now, yes, I know, if there's a name for it now, it's sealed. But then I think back to our baptism and our confirmation, and we believe that the sacraments are efficacious. They accomplish what they state, what they symbolize. And when we talk about that seal, that happened when I was 13 days old. And then it happened again when we were confirmed. Whether we had an emotional realization of it or not, it happened. And that's just, you know, when I think about that, it's like every Catholic, by the nature of them being baptized and confirmed, and every Christian who's been baptized, has been sealed with this indelible character. They have that Holy Spirit. How do they live that out? How does it manifest itself? It's different in as many people as, you know, as we are.
Right.
But it's there. It's real.
So the first reception is 13 days old. I don't know when, my mind was around that time too. I don't know how many days it was. I don't remember that back then. But confirmation, like I read here, it's a confirming of that spirit again, giving us that more strength. Holy orders, there's oils used, laying on of hands, anointing of the sick, very similar. I put the other three sacraments, the sacraments of the Eucharist, reconciliation, and marriage down there too, because there's certain seals, and certainly the Spirit is present in all those.
We talked about the one earlier with the Eucharist, that it's not the magic words that the priest uses. He asks God to send the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And without that, he's just saying words up there.
Right.
We can say those same words. Without God, it is just bread. The Holy Spirit is just
the power of the Holy Spirit coming down upon them. That's right. That's right. Let's see what else I have here. Okay, so I got some more pictures.
This is what Bob does in his retirement. Pictures of the Holy Spirit. This is not a bad thing.
And I got a new one today, too.
Funny.
So just because I was doing this, I got to put this one in there, too. So here we go. Here we have the flame and the dove and the red. Again, here we have a dove in here too. It's kind of in the fire. Oops. Here we have the flame out of the heart, and we have some growth on this one too. I'm going to get into growth a little bit later. Here's the one I got today. So we have the heart and all the flames, and I was trying to figure out, are these the different gifts in the Each flame represents a gift. I'm not sure. Certainly the dove is in there. There's another dove. Another dove, same glass. Okay, so we got another breakout in our groups. Want to use the same groups? Might as well. Which images of the Holy Spirit mean the most to you, and then why?